Well, just for the recording, it's Wednesday the 25th of February 2015, and the topic this evening is running into a safe place. Running into a safe place. I spoke over the weekend at going deeper on fear, and this was the session when Trevor was lying on the floor incapacitated and just sort of waved his hand and said, you know, Mark, you take over. And I was going to do this later on in the day, and I had a nice 3-point talk that sort of progressed neatly from one topic through to the next and had a nice conclusion and so on. But actually, just as we started, there was a real sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit just with us, and just a real openness in people's hearts. And as I was talking, I don't actually think I said it, but this phrase, running into a safe place, went through my mind. And I don't think I actually said it on Friday or Saturday, whatever day it was, but there was just this sense as I was talking about fear, that fear is so devastating, it's so gripping, that we need to find a safe place that we can run away from the fear and run to be secure and find a place where that fear will let go of its hold on us. And I've just been thinking about that a little bit more over the last few days, and this whole thing, as John really just prayed for us, that we would find the place where we know that we're loved. We would find a place where we know that we are safe, where we know that we are secure. And I just want to go through a few things this evening with us, which are occasions when we need to turn and run into that safe place. As John said, you know, sometimes that safe place is with other people. Sometimes that safe place is not with other people, but, you know, sometimes being safe is finding the right people to be with at the right time, because it's like they protect us, and they can be the Father's arms to us, and they can bring the Father's comfort to us. Sometimes other people can be an unsafe place for us to run to, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But I just want to start again, and I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago, was on the webcast, was just looking at the whole thing of fear, because fear is the opposite to love. You know, 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And fear puts up a barrier to us coming into that place where we really live in love. I think fear is one of the biggest tools or one of the biggest weapons of the enemy, that he uses against us in order to steal our peace and to draw us away from that place of contentment that we find when we're living in love. But the more we live in love, the more our lives are rooted and grounded in love, the more that perfect love drives out the fear that's taken up residence in our hearts. And as we put our roots down in love, fear quite simply has to go. And the more we live in love, the more fear goes. Not just the more often it goes, but the more of it goes. And, you know, I believe, and I talked a little about it on Saturday, that, you know, over the last few years, I've really seen that fear has been driven out of my life in a number of areas. I don't think it's all gone. I don't think the work is complete, but I know that that I am not so fearful about circumstances or situations as I was. And I really believe that as our roots go down in love, as we live in love, as we walk as Jesus walked, as love becomes a substance, the reality that fills our hearts, so that love drives away fear. See, fear is so negative. It's all, as John writes in his letter, fear is all to do with punishment. And love, of course, is not to do with punishment. Yes, you know, sometimes love disciplines, but that's not a punishment. It's a training and a pruning so that we might bear more fruit. But fear condemns us and it pushes us under a cloud of guilt. And it makes us think that we're being punished all the time. And, you know, as that fear is driven out, you know, it's one of those big orphan hallmarks that gets out of our life, and we can begin to live much more fully as sons and daughters. You see, fear destroys relationship. It destroys our relationship with our Father, and it destroys our relationship with one another. Fear destroys our identity, you know, who we really are. It takes away from us the reality of our relationship with Father as sons and daughters. You know, fear prevents us getting into our destiny, where we really live out that calling, that relationship as sons and daughters. You know, fear takes away that belief in God always being good, and it takes away from us a sense of his presence being with us. You know, fear really, really is very, very destructive. Fear is also very, very subtle. You know, we can have a fear of many, many things. We can have a fear of our health going bad or going wrong, or some major illness, you know, coming upon us. And what we can do is we can start doing all sorts of things that sidetrack us. Some of them are probably very good, but they can sidetrack us. If we're living in fear, you know, we can try to do all these different things in order to keep our health in a good state. And actually, there are some things we have very, very little control over. You know, we can have a fear of about money, about having enough, either on a monthly basis or an annual basis or a lifetime. You know, if we have a fear about not having enough money, then it's like something within us strives to become a hoarder and hold things to us and hold things to ourselves. And, you know, that's completely the opposite of, you know, the walk that the Father wants us to have. He wants us to be releasers and givers. You know, it says freely, freely give. As you've given, you will so as you've received, so you can give. And it's like, you know, it's a real sort of characteristic of an orphan to hold things tightly to themselves and to sort of hoard and to worry about the future financially. We worry about our future generally. We worry about our jobs. You know, are we going to be made redundant? Will we have a job in 5 years' time? Will we have a job long enough? If people are being made redundant, who's going to be made redundant? Are we going to progress through the career structure or whatever? We have a lot of fears about our family. You know, are our kids going to turn out okay? Are we going to turn out okay? You know, is our family going to stick together? Are the relationships going to be good between the family? And we can live our life based on fear rather than based on faith. You know, more subtle things, we can have a fear of, you know, what people think about us. And all of these things can be very, very strong, and they can grip our hearts. And they steal something. They steal our peace. They steal our rest. And when we live in fear, it's like the senses of our mind, the senses of our emotion, the senses of our heart are very, very alert to what's going on, And it's like we have this antenna that's flashing around and just trying to pick up anything that we need to guard against, that we need to build a barrier against, that we need to protect ourselves from. And that living like that can be very, very tiring, very, very exhausting. It wears us out. And when we live in fear, or when fear comes upon us, we need a safe place to run to. We need to find that safe place where we can run to be safe and secure, and where we can let go of that fear and begin to open ourselves up once again to living in the centre of the Father's affection for us. See, fear is so debilitating, and it draws us away from that place of safety. It draws us away from that place where we're wrapped up in the Father's arms, to a place where we're fighting and striving on our own. Another area is the whole area of sin. And yes, I'm going to mention sin on a Father Heart webcast. You see, because sin causes separation. Sin destroys our relationship. Sin causes shame and guilt. You know, the enemy has deliberately designed shame and guilt to keep us distant from the Father. He's deliberately, you know, the condemnation that we feel, the weight, the burden that we feel when we realize that we've sinned, it's a deliberate act of the enemy to destroy our relationship with the Father and to cause separation with him. You see, sin comes in many forms. You know, there's the little things that we all do wrong. You know, we break the speed limit in the car, or we get cross with someone, or we, you know, we just maybe tell a little white lie, as we call it, or whatever. And then there's the habitual sins, you know, stuff that we've got into over, you know, just the stuff of life that, you know, maybe bad habits, maybe, you know, attitudes that have worked themselves into us to be part of us, maybe, you know, a whole host of things that are those sins that we find really, really hard to shake off. And, you know, they make us feel unclean. They make us feel distant from God. We don't feel we can come close to him because of the stuff we've done, or the stuff we've thought about, or the stuff we've been watching, or the stuff we've seen, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, I don't believe that Father wants us to feel condemned tonight, because as he fills us with his love, as he pours his love into our hearts, it automatically draws us away from that life of sin. You know, I know from my life, and I know from the stories of many, many people I've spoken to and listened to their stories, is, you know, they say they've struggled with things for years and years and years. But when the Father pours his love into their heart, when they had a revelation of God the Father, when they received his love, it's like sin had no place in them. And over a period of time, their story is that the things that troubled them for years and years and years have fallen away. And you see, light and darkness can't exist together. When the light of God's love comes into our heart, the darkness has to flee. You know, when you go into a room and turn on the light, the whole room is illuminated. It's not like darkness bundles itself up and sits in the corner. You know, darkness goes when the light comes on. And it's the same with our hearts. When the light of his love is turned on, darkness, sin just has to flee. And I know all of us sometimes feel like we've blown it again, or we're struggling with sin. And it's in those times that we need a safe place to run to. We need a safe place to run to. Stress. Stress is a big thing these days, isn't it? You know, we feel under pressure. We feel worn out. We feel exhausted. We feel we just can't keep up with the treadmill of life. You know, we've got families, we've got work, we've got the shopping to do, we've got the cleaning to do, we've got the housework to do, we've got the gardening to do, we've got all the pressures of the goals and targets at work, we've got the pressure of what's going on in our own heart, we've got the pressure of what we see going on in other people's hearts, and it just leaves us feeling worn out. And when we get under pressure, what we do is we create for ourselves a survival mode. You know, instead of doing what should be the most obvious thing in the world of relying on the Father, we shut down and we try and cope on our own. And of course, that simply causes and creates more pressure. And when we're in those times of stress, when we feel like our lives are just under pressure, we need a safe place to run to. We need a safe place to run to. You know, all of us probably feel the pain and the woundedness of our hearts. We feel the brokenness. We know that our heart is not fully healed. And I hope you can all look back at your own lives and see that and experience that your own heart is more healed than it was 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. You know, I know I can look back and say, you know, my heart is much more healed than it was 10, 12 years ago. I don't think it's perfectly healed yet, but, you know, I can look back and say, Father, I am so glad, I'm so grateful for what you've done. And I hope all of you can do the same. I hope you can all look back and say, yes, my heart is more healed than it was. But the reality is that when our hearts are open and they're wounded, we then close them down and we try and protect our hearts. We try and keep it safe. And that's very debilitating as well. It disables us. And it's something we try hard to do on our own, but we actually can't handle it on our own. And those of you who have been on the A schools that we run, you know we talk a lot about opening the heart and allowing our hearts to open up to the Father's love, however painful that is, because as his love comes in, it heals our hearts, it transforms our hearts. And sometimes it's too painful to open our hearts all in one go. But Father is so gentle and so gracious that He takes us down through the layers, like we open our heart to a certain extent and he comes and heals our heart, and then we open it a little bit more and then he heals that, and so it goes on. But you see, when we're wounded, when we're broken, when we know that our heart needs healing, if we try and stay outside of this safe place, we end up just living with the brokenness. But if we can find a safe place to run to, it's a safe place where our hearts can be healed from the pain and the wounds that we've inevitably suffered, that all of us have suffered. I think one of the saddest things I think sometimes is meeting people and talking to people who have no idea that their heart is broken. That no idea that their heart needs healing. And it's like either they can't face it or they're trying to sort of put a veneer of unreality. But, you know, the moment we can admit that our heart needs healing, our heart needs making whole, that's kind of like one of the first steps of opening up to receiving the Father's love. And we need to find that safe place where our hearts can be healed. for those of you who've read my book, Planted in Love, I have a chapter which is called The Real Reality. And in that chapter, I talk about the two realities that we face. There's the reality of our everyday life. You know, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we do whatever we do, and we come home, we have the family time, and then we go to bed. And it's like this cycle of life that we all live in, which is obviously very, very different for each one of us. But, you know, that's a very important and very real reality. You know, this reality of our everyday lives, the stuff that we're facing, the stuff of our hearts, you know, everything we're working through. And that's an important reality. But there's another reality. And the other reality is actually the real reality. It's the way the Father sees us. It's the way the Father views us. It's the way he treats us. You know, it says that Paul writes, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins." Now, most of us would say, "Hang on, that can't be true." You know, but Paul goes on to say, "You are made alive in Christ." Most of us would say, "No," because we still feel like we're dead in our transgressions and sins. And the reality of our everyday life is we struggle with that sort of thing. But the other reality is that the Father sees us as being made alive with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms. You know, it's like he doesn't see the stuff anywhere near as much as we see the stuff. He sees us, the Amplified Version says of Ephesians 2, that he sees us with joint seating with Christ in the heavenly places. So when he looks at us, he sees us sitting down next to his son Jesus in the heavenly places. We see ourselves with all of the stuff of life and all of the stuff that's going on and all of the pressures that we face. And it's like we have these two things that are, you know, competing to win, really. And the problem with all of those things that I just mentioned, the fear, the sin, the shame, the condemnation, the pressure, the stress, is we end up focusing on the wrong reality. We end up focusing on the reality of our everyday lives, and we lose sight of the real reality, which is the way that the Father sees us. James Jordan says it's like a set of scales. That you know, you've got a balance that you weigh things up against, you know, you weigh things on. And it's like on one side of the scale, we've got the reality of our everyday lives as we see it. And then on the other side of the scale, it's the reality of the way God sees us. And it's like there's this seesaw effect between the two of which one is going to win. And James Jordan says, you've only got to get to 51%. And if you've got 51% on the real reality, it will tip the balance and weigh it down and it wins. You know, we think we have to get to 100%. We have to have everything. We have to tick all the boxes. We have to have everything lined up properly. We have to have everything working properly. We have to have our lives perfectly in order. We have to have 100% on the reality of how the Father sees us and nothing on the other side. But James says the scale will tip when you just get a little bit more of one than the other. And the moment we sort of tip the scales, if you like, of focusing on the real reality of how Father sees us, you know, that will begin to outweigh all of the other stuff. We don't have to get it 100%, just to that 51%. And then it tips it over the line. You see, these things that I've spoken about, they drag us away from who we really are. And who we really are is sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. They cause us to focus on the wrong reality, not the wrong reality, but the other reality, the worldly one, but instead of focusing on the real reality. Yeah, you know, Paul writes in Colossians, I think, he says, the reality, however, is found in Christ. And as our lives are hidden in Christ, we begin to live in that understanding of what the real reality is. that the Father sees us as his sons and daughters. He loves us in the same way as he loves Jesus. And he draws us into that place where we're safe in his arms. See, what often happens is we, instead of running to a safe place, we run to what I've called false comforts. And one of the big false comforts we run to is other people. Now, don't get me wrong here. We all need friends. We all need the hug of human kindness. We all need people to come alongside us and encourage us and build us up, because other people are the Father's arms to us. Other people are the source of bringing the Father's comfort to us. Other people are the channels of bringing the Father's love to us. You know, when other people look at us with love in their eyes, it is the Father looking at us through them. You know, we all need other people around us. We all need other people to encourage us and support us. But the danger is we sometimes look to other people to fill the hole in our life. And it's like we're sucking something out of them in order to fill a hole in our life, rather than going to the source, which is to the Father. Now, as I've said, sometimes, very, very often, you know, the Father's love will come to us through other people. But there are times when we, in a wrong way, we're sucking something from other people to fill a hole. And other people, because of their own insecurities and their own wounds, they're more than happy to give it to us. So that's just one of those areas we just need to be a little bit careful of, because, you know, I can't stress enough that we need other people. I know over the last few months, over the last few years, you know, valuable friends like John and Barry and Trevor and Linda, you know, and other people have really been, you know, so important to me in my journey and on my walk. And, you know, we need that, and it's so, so valuable. But we don't want to be in that place where we're looking to other people to fill that hole in us. You know, we've got all these other things like money, security, health, jobs. We sort of invest ourselves in those rather than finding the safe place that we should be running to. So where should we run? Well, I guess you've probably guessed it by now, but the place of safety is running into the Father's arms. Running into the Father's arms, where there's true comfort, where there is complete redemption, where there is tenderness, where there is acceptance, where there's that sense of well-being. You know, there's that old hymn that says, it is well with my soul. And when we run into the arms of the Father, we get to that place of saying, ah, oh, it is well. It is well with my soul. We receive true comfort. We receive healing. We receive redemption. We receive everything that we need when we run into his arms. You know, this has been a theme right through the whole of Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is recounting the story of the Israelites' journey, and he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. You know, God just wants to wrap us in his arms and pick us up and carry us. That's the safest place in the whole world. That's the most secure place for us to be. Again, at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses writes, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It's like there he is again, just carrying us in his arms, holding us close to himself, loving us. You know, like a father holds a child or a mother holds a child, holds them close and just pours love into them. You know, as we find that safe place in our Father's arms, he pours that love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's the best. It's really the only place for us to be, but it's the best place for us to find. You know, this may involve a change in our hearts. If we want this internal stillness and peace, then we may need to stop and consider, just look at our lives and just think about what we're doing and what may need to change. It's all about opening our hearts. It's all about opening our hearts and saying, Father, I want you to pour your love into my heart. In Jeremiah 6:16, it says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And sadly, they said, we will not walk in it. But there's an encouragement to us there just to pause and just to have a look and say, Father, where's the good way? Which is the good way for me to walk? In this situation, how do you want me to walk through it? In this area of pain, in this area of stress, in this area of sin, in this area of fear, Father, how do you want me to walk? And just to take that moment to pause and say, Father, I invite you into this situation. Show me what to do. Lead me. And he promises that he will, and he'll gather you in his arms and take you on that journey. I just want to finish by reading Psalm 91 from the Passion Translation. And just as we do, just make this a reflective prayer, really, of what you want, of the place you want to allow yourself to go. This is what it says. Whoever lives within the secret shadow of Shaddai, hidden in the strength of God Most High, will always be kept safe and feel secure. Here's how I describe him. He's the hope that holds me, the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. Yes, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under the covering of his majesty and hide. His faithfulness is a wraparound shield, keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing, whether by night or day. Demonic danger will not trouble you, nor the powers of evil launched against you, for God will keep you safe and secure. They won't lay a hand on you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for you will still be kept safe and secure. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us, or disease infect us? God will send his messenger angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they will be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have chosen to be my great lover, I have chosen to greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. Because you have chosen to be my great lover, I have chosen to greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. Even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your glorious hero and give you success. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you will feast your eyes on the fullness of my salvation, drinking deeply of me. This is a song by John Nuttall, which says, running into his arms. And we're just going to play this for a few minutes. And I just encourage you just to run into Father's arms. Just as you're listening, we'll play it again when we get to the end. And just soak as John sings and go to that place of safety and security. So Father, we just turn and run into your arms now, because you're a safe place for us. You never let us go, Father. You don't let us go. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, you know all about our pain. You know all about our tears. You know all about the things that we struggle with. And Father, we just want to turn and run into your arms, that safe place where we know that we are loved, where we are accepted. And Father, as we run into that place, we ask you once again to pour your love into our hearts, that we would know the fullness of your love filling us. Thank you, Father.